According to the South African trademark law, you can register your unique mark to protect your business interest from being exploited and potentially harmed through the misuse by unauthorized entities. And that's why we are having a chat to Karen Kitchen, who is a trademark law specialist and trademark specialist representing Bredenkamp IP attorneys. Karen, thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Good morning, Tabe. Thank you for having me on air this morning.
Thanks very much for joining us, Karen. Maybe let's start with a very difficult one. What is the difference between trademark law and intellectual property law?
Okay, so intellectual property comprises of various forms of protection. So trademarks is a form of intellectual property, as is a patent or a design or copyright. So it falls within the bouquet of IP rights, trademarks.
I see. That's for trademarks, right?
Yes. So it is a form of intellectual property. A trademark is a form of intellectual property.
Okay, and maybe let's go straight to it. What laws govern trademark laws in the country? Because we have seen a very heated contestation between two political parties, and I don't want to pull you into the fray of politics, but perhaps confining ourselves to the prescripts of the law in this instance. What sort of laws do we have to rely on to protect a trademark?
Yes, so South Africa has to use a Latin term, a sui generis or a specific trademarks act that governs the protection and enforcement of trademark rights in South Africa. They are also protected by the common law, which is basically a trademark right that gains. Gains a repute through use over an extended period of time. So trademarks are governed by a specific Trademarks Act as well as the common law.
I see. And what can be trademarked?
Good question. So generally, words can be trademarked, as well as logos in the form of, let's say, stylized pictorials, for example. A kind of common example would be the word Nike, for example, is a trademark. But the tick, the Nike tick, is also a trademark, which would comprise of a logo per se. But slogans can also be protected as trademarks. So, for example, simpler, better, faster, finger licking good, which is a well-known one for KFC, and even smells can be protected as trademarks, as well as labels various other shapes and things like that that are unique. So it's quite a broad spectrum of what can be trademarked, but the most common would probably be your word marks, the name of a brand, and the logos.
Yeah, I mean, does that include sounds? I know of a certain motorbike brand that has trademarked the particular sound.
Yes, absolutely. So sounds can also be trademarked. And as I said, even smells can be trademarked, as long as they are represented graphically. Musical notations can be trademarked. Patterns can be trademarked. You know, I think of Louis Vuitton, for example. They've got very distinctive stitching and patterns that they use on their handbags, for example. So there's quite a wide array of things that can potentially be the subject of trademark protection.
Yeah, and talking about protection, who implements trademark law? Do we have trademark police? Who looks after this this very important aspect of business?
Yes, so we've got the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, commonly known as the CIPC, and one can protect various forms of IP through the CIPC's mechanisms. So for example, if we just keep it specific to trademarks, if a company wanted to protect their logo or a political party, just to keep it more relevant to the case that we're seeing on TV at the moment, etc., then an individual or the lawyers representing those individuals would typically do a search of the trademarks register to see if a particular mark is available for use in registration. Trademarks are capable of falling into 45 classes. So there's what's called the NIST classification of goods and services. And depending on if that party is applying their trademark to a specific good or a specific service, they would determine which category their trademark would fall into. So they would do a search, or the lawyers, like including myself, for example, we would do a trademark availability search on the trademarks register with the CIPC in a specific class. So, for example, Coca-Cola wants to file their trademark in relation to non-alcoholic beverages. They would file their trademark class 32, for example.
I think I lost.
That would then be done through an electronic submission with the CIPC on their trademarks register. It would be filed in the specific class of interest. And then it goes through a registration life cycle. Typically in South Africa, from filing through to registration takes about 12 to 18 months, assuming a smooth process. But once it has gone through that process, a trademark registration certificate is issued. And once a party has a registered right, they are more easily able to enforce that right against any other copycats that are operating in their specific field of trade.
And why does it take so long, Karen? I mean, 12 to 18 months, one would think that in at least 3 months max, everything else would have been sorted out, especially in the digital age that we live in.
Yes, certainly. So it goes through, as I said, various stages from filing through to registration. It goes through an examination period, which takes roughly 8 months. The CIPC has a few backlogs, but they are seeking and improving systems. It is certainly electronic, but there are individuals appointed by the CIPC. There are specific examiners that would examine the trademarks for distinctiveness and to make sure they don't conflict with any other third-party rights in that category of goods or services. And then once the trademark has gone through an examination period, an examination report is issued, and certain criteria might be raised by the registry in order to process that application through to the next stage of acceptance.
Yeah.
And then once the trademark is accepted, it is then advertised for a three-month period, whereby any interested third party can seek to potentially oppose or object to that trademark if they have a vested interest in that mark, for example. Assuming no opposition is encountered, then a registration certificate is issued by the CIPC. So there are quite a few steps that need to be fulfilled by the CIPC and its systems and the individuals that work there. So it is a bit of a process, and so that's roughly the time period at the moment in South Africa. There are a few backlogs, as I said, but a 12 to 18 month turnaround is not massively significant. The party can continue to use their trademark, and obviously they will establish common law rights through use in parallel with those statutory rights that they are seeking to obtain.
Sure. Let's look at some words. I'm going to take a voice note in a second, but let's take a look at some words that cannot be trademarked because they are obviously out there in the public sphere, and perhaps we've got proper legal explanation accompanied by the jargon there too, Karen. I mean, if I want to use the word cheese, for example, or 24 hours, or grass, I'm sure that I should be allowed to do that. Are there some things that can be trademarked in business despite the fact that they may exist or pre-exist prior to me naming it that?
Yes, so the examination criteria to determine if a trademark is registrable is inherent distinctiveness, i.e., with regard to your example, if you were looking to protect the word cheese in relation to cheese products, then that would very likely be disallowed because that is in the public domain and it's descriptive of, and it's actually the name of a specific product. But some interesting trademarks would be the word apple, which is distinctively applied to computers. Obviously, if that party was seeking to protect the word apple on apples, that would be disallowed. But a common word like apple is distinctive in relation to electronic goods and computers, and it's one of a very well-known brand that we all are aware of is Apple Computers. So inherent registrability is something that is looked at. Is the trademark descriptive of the goods and services that it is aiming to, that it will apply to? If it is, it's not likely to be registrable. There's a whole list in the Trademarks Act of the kinds of marks that would be disallowed. If there's certain shape marks that would be disallowed. If you look in the pharmaceutical sector, for example, there are various parties that have tried to seek trademark protection for the shape of a tablet, for example. If it's quite a commonly shaped tablet, and the reason it's shaped is to allow for ease of swallowing, for example, it's probably unlikely to be capable of being registered as a trademark. Because the form is dictated by function, if I can call it that. But other shape marks that are very distinctive would be, for example, the dimple bottle in relation to the alcohol category or alcohol goods. It's a very distinctively shaped bottle. So it's recognizable as in relation to the specific dimple product. So there's certain criteria that need to be met. So inherent registrability is the first issue. Gotcha. And then secondly, the registry would look at, is there a pre-existing third-party right in that category or class that would prohibit a person from securing a trademark that is similar in that particular category? So there are quite a few issues and that's why the examination process is potentially a bit longer than one would want.
Karen?
Criteria need to be assessed.
Allow me to squeeze in a call and a voice note so that we can attend to them and answer what they have to say. 0727021702.
A good day, Thabo. Can you please ask your guest, is there any difference between a trademark and a registered trademark? If there is a difference, then it means that anyone can use your brand if your brand is not a registered trademark. Lastly, can you register only your logo as your registered trademark? Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. Karen?
Hi, yes. So as I mentioned earlier, there are two types of trademarks. There's a common law right that is established through use, which also gives a party a certain level of protection in protecting their trademark against other third-party copycats, if I can call it that. But to reinforce a common law right, it is advisable to also seek a statutory right in the form of filing a trademark with the CIPC and then getting it registered, which, as I mentioned, takes 12 to 18 months from filing. Once you have a registered trademark, then you can sue on the basis of trademark infringement. If you do not have a registered trademark, then you would potentially enforce your common law rights through the through other recourse, such as unlawful competition and passing off. So getting the registered trademark is more beneficial, because then you have a title deed to your trademark in the form of a registration certificate, which is easier to evidence in court than a common law trademark right. You would have to hand up evidence showing use of that trademark over an extended period of time to show that you've gained a repute in that name or that logo over time. Does that Karen, make sense?
It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. But thank you so much for your time. We've run out of time now, but your insights are highly invaluable to us. And it really lights up some wisdom on some things that have been going on the political field as well as business. Really appreciate your time, Karen. Karen Kitchen, trademark attorney with Bread & Gump IP Attorneys.